This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, so I want to make sure to leave a good amount of time for the Q&A. So inshallah ta'ala, I'll be brief. But when we're talking about toxic religiosity, many times the image that comes to people's mind is somebody who's just very, very critical of them. Someone who seems to wield the Quran and Sunnah as a weapon over their head. Someone who may even declare that going against whatever it is haram, of course, or even destined to the hellfire if a person crosses this line or what have you. And it's given this concept called the haram police, a bad rap, I think. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with the haram police or the bid'ah police or what have you. When we see something wrong, are we supposed to communicate that that's wrong? Yes or no? Yes. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith that's reported by a Muslim that whoever of you sees an evil, then let them change it with their hand. And if they can't, then let them change it with their tongue. And if they can't, then let them change it with their tongue. And that's the lowest level of iman. The lowest level is iman, is if I see something wrong, that I at least dislike it. So then the question becomes, how do I engage in a way that is positive? Because engaging is actually one of the pillars of Islam. We've got a beautiful word for it. Al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. Commanding ma'roof and forbidding munkar. And it's generally translated as good, commanding good and forbidding evil. But ma'roof actually doesn't mean good. That would be al-amr bil-khair. But it's ma'roof. And what does ma'roof mean? My Arabic speakers, when you say something is ma'roof, what does that mean? It's something that's known. It's something that's familiar. It's something that's recognizable. It's something that's mainstream. And what does munkar mean? Munkar means something that's unknown. You know, in Arabic grammar 101, you learned nakira and ma'rifa. Well, nakira is that which is indefinite, that which is unknown. And the meaning here is that we as a community are supposed to engage that which is positive so that it is always something that's familiar. It's always something that's known. And we are supposed to work together to suffocate that which is evil so that it is always unknown. It's never allowed to bubble to the surface. But if you don't do that, if that societal engagement is not there, then guess what? Within 5 years or 10 years, that which was previously unknown will become known. And I think we've all experienced that, where things that were very, very, very clearly wrong and haram 10, 15, 20 years ago, are now considered to be known and welcomed and celebrated. That is what happens when the munkar becomes ma'ruf. In any case, how do I engage? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says that we're the best ummah because we command the good, command the ma'ruf, and forbid the evil. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says, you are the best ummah to arrive from mankind. Why? Because we're from here or there, we're from Chicago. Why are we the best ummah? Allah says, because you command the good and forbid the evil. And you believe in Allah. We're the ummah that hasn't seen a prophet in 1400 years. Every other ummah has had prophet after prophet after prophet. We haven't seen a prophet in 1400 years. Allah says, we're the best ummah because we're the ones who do the work of prophets. We do it by committee. We do it all together. We command the good and we forbid the evil. So then, what are some of the responses that we get from people when we try to engage? I try to correct somebody's behavior. You'll hear things like, worry about yourself. Just worry about yourself. Why are you worried about me though? Worry about yourself. Okay. I have to worry about you though. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever of you sees an evil, then let them change it with their hand. So I have to worry about you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Lu'in, they were cursed, those from Ahlul Kitab, from Bani Israel, upon the tongue of Jesus Christ and on the tongue of Dawood, or Dawood and Jesus Christ. كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه. They used to never refrain from criticizing an evil that was done. Person would do evil and they would high-five them and still hug them and still hang out with them and do all of these types of things. And so Allah says they were cursed because of that, on the tongue of Jesus Christ and on the tongue of Dawood. So I have to engage. But then the question becomes, how do I engage? We'll talk about that. But the responsibility is there. In fact, Abu Bakr got up on the minbar as the Khalifa. And he said, oh people, you are all reciting this verse and you are getting it wrong. You're misunderstanding it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O people, O you who believe, upon you, you've got to worry about yourself. You will not be harmed by those who are misguided if you are guided. And so if I'm reading this verse, it looks like as long as I pray Fajr, it doesn't matter who doesn't pray Fajr. As long as I stay halal, it doesn't matter who's doing haram. But Abu Bakr said, no, you're misunderstanding this verse. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that if people witness evil and they don't engage in changing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may punish them all. So I can't just worry about myself. In fact, I worry about you as part of worrying about myself, because we're all in this boat together, literally. Another argument that people give is, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Okay. Number one, I'm not judging you. A person can commit a sin and they can be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than me possibly. I don't know what your journey is going to take you or where your journey is going to take you. But I am required to judge this particular action, and I'm not even the one judging it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judged it. Allah made drinking haram. What do you want me to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made smoking marijuana haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it. What do you want me to do? If you do a sin publicly, then it is my responsibility to judge it. And then at the same time, do we really carry that attitude in every other aspect of my life? When I submit an assignment to my professor and he gives me back a C+, do I say to him, how dare you judge me? You can't judge me. If I go and propose to a family, I say to the father of the girl, don't judge me. I have no career, I have no focus, I have no this, but don't you dare judge me. No, we all judge people in different aspects of our lives. In fact, we need to make judgments about people a lot of times in our interactions. But when it comes to the religious realm, we're so afraid of this judgment. And at the same time, we don't even carry that judgment. Judgment is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud one time, great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a person who had drank alcohol, and some of the companions of Ibn Mas'ud were being very aggressive with him. In fact, they were even beating the guy up, and Ibn Mas'ud stopped them. And they said, Ibn Mas'ud, they said, don't you hate him? And he said, no. He said, if he fell into a well, wouldn't you pull him out? He's your brother. He said, I only hate the sin. But if he repents, then he's my brother. That's the goal. And so the idea of judgment is one that I believe is weaponized, actually, against those who try to do islah, those who try to do correction for our brothers and sisters. And then number three, and I'll end with this, is that we're all at different levels of iman. A person might ask and say, we're all at different levels of iman. Like, you're talking to me about this, I'm not where you're at. And that's a very, very correct statement. We are all at different levels of iman. And what that means is that requires from me to change the tools that I use from my toolbox. But it doesn't abdicate me from the responsibility of correction. And what I mean by that is that I won't talk to somebody who knows better like someone who doesn't know better. I'm not going to act and talk to somebody who I have incredible rapport with. Someone's like my little brother, or someone who is a family member, or someone who I've known for years, and I have a lot of rapport with them. I'm not going to speak to them. I might speak to them with a little bit more severity than if I speak to somebody who I don't know. For that person, I might use tweezers. For my brother, I might use a hammer. And my brother will accept that from me because I have incredible currency with them. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they don't get that right. And so they'll be speaking to somebody who they don't know online. And they're telling them that they're doomed to this, and they're doomed to this, and they're doomed to this. And meanwhile, their like avatar is, you know, some anime character. And like, it's like, who are you? Who are you? Why are you talking to them like this? You have zero rapport with this individual. And so, you know, Abdullah ibn, I give you a quick example. Abdullah ibn Umar this time. Abdullah ibn Umar. I had a friend of mine who attended one of these like really harsh conferences where they kind of just, they charge their battery with, you need to go out into this world and you need to correct people, correct people, correct people. And we were both like, I want to say like right out after college, so like early 20s, and he went to this conference and he came back to the masjid and he was like, we need to go and advise the people. And then he gave me a quote that he heard at that conference. You know, that Abdullah ibn Umar, one time a person came to him and he said to him, I love you for the sake of Allah. And Abdullah ibn Umar said to him, I hate you for the sake of Allah. And the guy was like, why? And he said, because you make the adhan like the adhan of singing. Like you just kind of go off on your little notes and you just make it like weird, basically. So he said, and I hate you for the sake of Allah. Look, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said to him, I hate you for the sake of Allah. I said, listen, Abdullah ibn Umar, when he said that, number one, what was his age? What was his role? What was his status? He was an elderly companion. In fact, he was considered at that point one of the main teachers of the ummah. Like, I want you to imagine the most scholarly senior figure and you love so much and you would accept that from him. But if me and you, 20 something years old, go outside and start telling people in the masjid, I hate you for the sake of Allah, they're going to say to you, well, come hate me outside. Come outside and tell me how much you hate me. You're not going to get the result. It's about the result. You want, the goal should always be that you benefit this person. You know, one of the questions that I get a lot is when people are trying to correct their parents. And they say, you know, my mom does this or my dad does this. What should I do? I keep telling them and they don't listen to me. I'm like, Habibi, what parent has ever listened to their child? When your parents, when you talk to your parents, I don't care what degree you have, they are seeing a baby talking. They're seeing that same baby from 25 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, even then, they're just seeing you talk. So if my goal is to benefit them, then one of the things, which is a manifestation of sincerity, is that I have to remove myself, because my goal is not to be the one to teach them anything. My goal is not to be the one who benefits anyone from the ummah with anything. My goal is for them to be benefited. So whether that happens through me talking to them, that's great. Whether it comes through somebody else, me sharing a video of their favorite sheikh, I send that to them and I let them listen because they enjoy it. Or I have somebody else talk to them. Right? The goal is for them to benefit. And so if a person has that sincerity, that's the most important ingredient. When you are trying to reach and benefit people. I have had people in my life growing up who were very, very strict Muslims, very strict. If I made a single slip, they were on me like that. But the thing that allowed me to accept from them is because I always knew that they were coming not from a place of ego, but they were coming from a place of love and wanting good for me. And that will make up for a lot of the defaults in approach. A lot of the defaults in, and Allah knows best. A lot of the defects in method as well. I'll end here, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum al khair wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.